This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3221 for Monday the 7th of December 2020. Today's show is entitled, HPR Community News for November 2020, and is part of the series, HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers, and is about 49 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, HPR volunteers talk about shows released, and comments posted in November 2020.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. This time it's community news for November 2020. Will this year ever end, Dave? Joining me tonight is...
Hey, you'll never guess who it is. Dave Morris. And the cat in the background, you can probably hear her.
Yeah. So, this is a... HPR is a community podcast that where the shows are submitted by the listeners, very much like you, in fact, exactly like you. And for those of you who missed the opportunity to post a show this year, I have some great news. 260 new slots have just opened up for the year 2021. So feel free to send in your shows.
It's wonderful how that happens every year, isn't it?
Isn't it? Amazing. So, Dave, would you like to welcome our new hosts, please?
Yes, we have an interesting young fella who's joined us. It's called Porrick, am I right? Jeroen Fallon. So it might be some relation here.
Distant relation. Yeah. But hardly, because he's into Star Wars and I'm a Trekkie. So couldn't be possibly
beyond the pale,
related.
Yeah.
But yes, that's my son Bucky.
Yeah, it's great. It's good to see. Good to see the hierarchy sort of being passed on and stuff. Good.
Yep. Well, I suppose he wore me down and got me to make a character sheet. So I guess I was able to wear him down and get him to record a show.
Yeah, seems fair enough.
So this show, for people who are new to HPR, is a show where we go through the shows that have been posted in the last month so that everybody feels like they've been heard. And they have, but sometimes it's better to hear that directly from the community without having to wait 2 years for your first feedback.
Yeah, true.
And the first show, oddly enough, last month was the community news for October 2020, and we had no comments, Dave, which means we weren't controversial enough. So let's fix that tonight.
Our controversy levels are low, aren't they? Yeah, we must boost them up.
And then we had Pens, Pencils, Paper, and Ink, Part 3. I can't believe you only managed to squeeze 3 episodes out of this series. I'm very disappointed, Dave.
Well, there are ways in which one could go on and on and on about this. I don't know whether the vibes were telling me. I'm not sure. Maybe 2 other people are listening, but the rest are not. So, but never know. Well, you never know. Somebody might say, hey, Dave, do some more of them. So I might do some more sometime in the future.
Exactly. Send in your comments, folks. And then we had Income Life Assurance and then Chopin, which is a bit of a giveaway for our Paul Quirk up there in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a nice way to end an episode. I'm enjoying this.
And good tips, actually, all around.
Yes. The whole business about managing your finances and all that sort of stuff is something it should just be part of, you know, normal education, shouldn't it? I don't know whether it is these days, but that wasn't in my day. You know, get out there and earn money and then fall down whatever holes you fall down.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing. We do spend a significant amount of time with the kids here, teaching them that sort of stuff, how to balance a budget and how to, you know, order in line and determine if something's good value or not. But yeah. Yes. This particular show led to some conversations within the family on areas that I'm not at liberty to talk about, but nothing major, all in a good, positive way.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, it's good to have these conversations, I'm sure.
Indeed. So, bad audio, weed eaters, bugs and sprinklers and bubbles. I had no clue what you meant by this, but I think, bad audio. That's for sure.
Legendary,
you know, we have this thing on HPR, you know, we will accept it so long as it's audible. And this show was right on the edge for me.
Me too. Yeah.
But I was able to get through it. I was able to understand it. Particularly what a weed eater is, a strimmer.
Yes. It's I've heard other names for these things. It's basically it's a piece of string whizzing around on a spindle, and it whacks things, and I quite like the term weed whacker, actually. I've heard that. But that describes what it does. But weed eater, I don't know, most of the weeds get thrown in my face, I find, when I use mine, I'm not careful.
Well, I did enjoy this. It was a nice show.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, operator has got some interesting things to say. Hopefully, you'll be able to hear them all.
I think already he's seen, because he was trying a new lapel mic, I think, and in later shows that he submitted, that's some of the issues have already been resolved. So there you go. Always improving. Yeah.
We've probably all fallen down type of hole in our time. Yes. So, you know, not to make too much of it.
No, I wouldn't. I normally wouldn't. I wouldn't even comment on it so much, except that we know operators are a long-term host and isn't going to get offended. So, Activity Pub, and oddly enough, Better Social Media by Ahuka, his series, and oddly enough, I pointed somebody to this very topic today. The whole concept of free, libre, open source communication tools came up, and basically I was able to silence, I sent this link, and then suddenly the whole chat went silent for about 5 minutes as everybody was reading the articles. So very good.
Yeah. It's some very concentrated information here, which is what Ahuka does, which is fantastic. So it's a resource you can go back and refer to again and again, I think. So
yeah,
I need to absolutely refer to it some more myself, because I haven't absorbed it all yet, but it's a fascinating subject.
So a small intro to 3D printing from Irun Button there about his 3D Ender printer, following a call from me to which about requesting more shows on 3D printers. And oddly enough, what do you know? People sent in shows on 3D printers.
Yeah, this is good. I enjoyed this. I mean, it didn't tell me anything I didn't know, but it's always fascinating to hear how other people see a thing that you think you understand yourself, and then find that, hang on, they got a different viewpoint. That's really interesting. You know? So, yeah, I thought it did a great job.
This was all new stuff to me, Dave. All of this was new.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You, of course, have a 3D printer.
Everything
is a spool of plastic cable.
yeah. I'll tell you about it one time.
Yes, I am waiting for that, actually.
I've done one show on my 3D printer. Yeah, it needs another one.
So one big question. First show, Podrick asks a big life question. Well, okay, more like an undead question. So is it a vampire or a lynch? Lich. Vampire or a lich? Which side do you come on, Dave?
Well, I consulted with my local expert who said a lich is preferable because they're more powerful on the magic front. So there you go. That's the end of the story as far as I'm concerned.
Enigma says, great first show, enjoyed your first show, and never knew I wanted to be a vampire. I don't know. You came down on the wrong side there, Enigma.
Yeah, well, you know.
Look, you need to knock on the door. Your powers are only of use half the day if you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be invited into somebody's home. Please come in and slay me, why don't you? Yeah, no, Lich, definitely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I'm told, anyway. I don't know.
And indeed. And we had Paul Quirk again, retro computing. This was enjoyable. I was putting in some polls in the garden listening to this. This was very enjoyable.
Yeah, this is a hobby of Paul's, I believe. I think he's done other shows on this.
Exactly.
Am I right? Yeah. So he does know a lot about this stuff, which is really cool. Yeah, I personally don't know that much, even though I lived through that time because I just had the one machine and stuck with it. You know, the BBC Micro was my machine for many, many years.
So. Didn't went straight into the PCs. The only we had Commodore 64s in school, all right, and there are Apple IIs there, but I prefer the Commodores. They're easier to program.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's I actually did an evening class. I taught an evening class in BBC Basic, but using a lab at the university I was working at. So, I did get into that to a fair degree. It was a good time. There was a lot of exciting things going on then. The microcomputer revolution, or whatever they called it at the time.
Do a show about it, dude.
Forgotten it all.
The following day, Taj had. I should actually have the website with the dates, with the day number behind it. Remind me to fix that as well. Taj gave us his view on the 3D printing, and this was actually quite good about the FFM and FDM and the Ender 3D. Seems to be Ender 3 seems to be the way to go if you want to get into printing. Not
yeah,
too expensive either.
It's a good price. There was the original Ender 3, which I have, and now there's a Ender 3 Pro and a version 2. Version 2 is a little bit more expensive, but it's fixed a lot of the problems. I'm almost tempted to get another one, actually, mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'd be scolded probably if I did such a wicked thing. But it just would be nice to have something that's a bit more reliable than the old Ender 3. I think the one I got was a little bit shaky in some of its features. Uh-huh. And you can work around them. You can fix them, but I don't think we've fixed them all yet. So,
okay.
But yeah. Anyway, no, it's really good. Taj knows a lot about this subject. So it's really good to
yes,
hear
it does.
From him.
Looking forward to the whole series, actually.
Well, that's what I wrote here to myself. We need more 3D printing stuff from Taj. So, you know, we really do need to have some more in-depth stuff if he's up for it. That would be fantastic.
And, of course, Jeroen as well.
Oh, well,
and anybody else who wants to send in.
Anybody who can contribute to that would be wonderful.
So backups of your backups of backups. Do you have backups of your backups? Well, you better listen to this rant. This was interesting, and I know exactly what he did, and I hope to have a follow-up show for this about the cloud solutions. Very, very frustrating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I've tried to do everything myself, and I've probably made a mess by doing it that way, but at least I'm not worried about spider oaks and other such weirdnesses. Yeah,
somebody deciding that you clone a CD, you purchased a CD, you put it onto your PC and then you put it into a backup to have your backup, which is all of which is perfectly legal in the Netherlands. And I'm not a lawyer, by the way. And then you can't access it because somebody checked your backups on the cloud and decides that you're not allowed to have that. That's invasive, I would say.
I would say so too, yes, yes. I avoid anything cloud as much as I possibly can, so that wouldn't be a thing for me.
Also that you take a photo and then your photo isn't saved, a copy of a low resolution version of your photo saved because you haven't subscribed to the master plan. And oh God, that kind of defeats the purpose of what you're trying to do here, you know?
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. I know. I had a photo where some commercial organization came along and said, since you put it up as a public domain thing, we're going to use it in our brochure or something like that. So I thought, I don't give a damn why you do what the hell you like with it. But I was just a little bit shocked that I had such an approach, and it was sort of a given that they would just grab it and run away with it. That was on Flickr many years ago.
Okay. Next day, Dungeons & Dragons for the Blind, Kalatu, has done a show. And the best person to comment on that was, without any surprise, Mike Ray. Shall you read this one or shall I?
I'll do it. Mike says, thanks for a great show. Thanks for this episode, Klaatu. There were some good things in there to think about. Bit of a pity you didn't use the theater of the mind phrase to emphasize the way DMs and players can enhance their enjoyment by graphic and detailed description. But I guess it's a bit of a cliche. I will think about responding to this show with one of my own and what I've done on the way to taking up D&D again after over 40 years of not playing since I was at school. One term I had never heard until this show is Dice Tower. Now, I think you might have caused a few more quid to leave my bank and end up in Jeff Bezos. Even though I can't see the dice, I've been unable to resist buying lots of them recently. On listening to the Critical Role podcast, I fell in love with the sound of what sounded like a wooden dice tray. Typing Roll D20 at a Linux prompt is useful, but lacks soul.
Did I not see a Hackaday about 6 months ago where there was you could pick up a dice and put it underneath a camera and it would do OCR on it and tell you what the number was?
I'm not heard of that.
I want to check that out.
That would be cool.
I saw that somewhere.
Yes. Anywho, I remember the Dice Tower thing. I remember Klaatu mentioning this some time ago. Somebody in New Zealand who makes these, I think, isn't it? And I followed it up and had a look at it. It looked absolutely lovely. Really nice piece of work. Quite fancy one myself for no good reason other than it looks really nice.
So, following day, we had a fireside chat with Enigma. So, it was a bit rambly, I must say, but I've never actually spoken to him in real life. Talked to him a lot online, but there you go.
He sounds like a really, really nice guy. Very cool, knows lots of stuff, and a lot of experience there. I really enjoyed this. It was a great, great episode. He seemed to be enjoying himself going over the history of stuff and getting back into HPR and that type of thing as well, which is good to hear.
Yeah, and he's got some good ideas coming up as well. Yeah,
looking forward to them.
So, Paul Quirk, I was up hoovering the bedrooms when I heard this one. So, why I have to tell you this, but it's a fact of life. Why come with a pine book and my thoughts on the DMCA takedown for YouTube DL?
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice.
Yeah, no, good stuff. Good stuff again. It never occurred to me to do anything like what he was doing with a tablet to sign PDFs. I think it was, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty amazing thing to do.
Yeah. perfect. It makes perfect sense when you.
Yeah, absolutely. And the technology to do that on a Pinebook too is quite impressive. Yeah. So yeah, excellent.
It's the Linux thing again. If it's in the kernel, it's in the kernel. Yeah, it's right there. You just plug it in, and oh, it works. Awesome stuff. Charlie Brown AU says feedback from HPR 3208E. Good day, Paul. I emailed you feedback response. Regards, Charlie Brown from AU. It's good to know.
Cool.
And the next day we had the Linux in-laws with their interview on Nextcloud. And Kevin had some feedback, which will now be read.
So yes, Kevin O'Brien says, I love the show. Great interview with Frank Karliczek. I'd love to know more about Nextcloud. So yeah.
Calling all cars. We need shows on Nextcloud. Calling all cars. And you know what else I need, Dave?
What's that?
I need a show about WireGuard, Dave. I emailed a certain person down in the foot of England in order to get that show.
That person, yeah. Oh. Yes.
Because
yes,
I have
yes.
actually the text of the show. So the person only needs to record it or tell me to record it for them.
Yes, yes. You have to ask that person directly, I'd have thought.
I already have.
Oh, right. The
person has not got back to me. Or maybe they haven't because I'm having mail issues. I'm not sure I'm getting responses from this stuff.
Okay. I think that the person you're talking about is on Mastodon. If I remember right. I can tell you offline what information I have on that subject.
Indeed. Oh, I do have that person on Mastodon. Indeed. Okay, GIMP Patterns and Gradients by Hohuka, his GIMP series that go beyond simple colors and let you create interesting images. This is quite nice, actually.
Yeah. I knew vaguely that such a thing existed, but I hadn't really delved into it. So I'm quite intrigued to mess around with this when I get a moment. Good stuff.
And don't forget, folks, there with the Hookah shows, there's always plenty of information on his own website there. Chainsaws by Operator. Chainsaws, not something I had a little bit of experience with, but not something I regularly would have. So I think in the States, there seems to be a lot more nature around.
Yeah, well, yeah. As I had a conversation with NY Bill years ago saying, are you lucky people with all your trees? And he said, yeah, but you lot cut all yours down, didn't you? make ships and stuff. And of course, he's quite right.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So they do exist here, but it's not a thing that most people have, I think. Don't know anybody who has a chainsaw personally.
Yeah, no, I know a few, but you wouldn't. It's not something that you would get access to. I've used one in my time, but it's not. Wouldn't be high on my list. Like for my back garden, wouldn't be a little bit overkill. You know what I mean? 3D printer, I might be able to get chainsaw. No, that would be hard to get past the family budget. No, truth be told.
I quite enjoy the process of. Cutting up bits of wood and stuff, but
indeed.
I've certainly pruned a tree in my back garden with a. But I've just used a handsaw, you know, a pruning saw, and that does the job pretty well. You know, so owning a chainsaw, just like I don't own a hedge trimmer because I got a pair of shears. you know, just go snip, snip with them, and you're good.
Yeah, I don't have a lawnmower because I got the scythe. You know, always the best.
Actually, yeah, I'd love to learn to use a scythe. That would be fun.
I've used it in the past. Oh, it's not bad actually. It's all about control.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. My dad had a sharp blade. We used to use a sickle to do various weedy type things when I was a kid. I was fairly good with a sickle, but you have to sort of grovel down and be on your hands and knees to do it. Scythe would be great. But yeah, you could easily easily take your toes off, I would have thought, if you're not quite knowing what you're doing.
Cool. Next day, we had Biza back with an excellent show. And the thing about this is I heard it, and I had to wait 3 days before I got time to actually play it. But the challenge was to use a Model 3B as your daily driver.
Yeah. What an interesting thing to do. It's not unreasonable. I mean, it is the way things are moving. The 3B is not near as powerful as today's Model 4 machines, but obviously, and he's well aware of that, obviously. But it's a case of what he had, which is fair enough.
Yeah. And in actual fact, I have had a 3B as my secondary screen here. So I've got two screens, my laptop on one screen, and then to the right, I've got another screen, which I just updated from an 11-inch to a 14-inch. No, from a 14-inch to a 21-inch, which just fits nicely. More, not a 16:9, but this more square ratio. And I put the 4 there on that one with 8 gigs of RAM. But up until this, the 3B has been, so long as you do one thing on it, it's been absolutely fine. A bit chuggy when it goes to video. So what I wanted to be able to do was just use it as a second screen for doing video conferencing.
Okay.
And the 4B might be a little bit better for that, I'm thinking.
Yes. I must admit, I was a bit tempted by the Pi 400, the one that's built into a keyboard. But I can't really justify it because I've got loads of Pis and they're all headless and doing various jobs. But the 400 would be quite a fun thing to play with. Very usable in this sort of way as a sort of low-spec desktop type thing.
Yeah. Interesting. Next day, electrical safety, because Paul is a electrician, and none of this qualifies as advice or whatever, but I asked to do a little show for us, and he did this one. So Norris says, great episode. I hope you do more about work in the electrical trades. Maybe some detail about getting into the industry and what apprenticeships are like.
And Kevin O'Brien says, I love the show. I thought this was a great show. I look forward to more. So, yeah, good. It's quite unusual, actually, as a show content. And it's good to hear people's work experience of this sort. I was most intrigued by it.
Absolutely. Very good. Operator sent in a rant about websites. And he goes over the history of websites and the complex natures of security in complex websites. And right now at this moment, Dave, I couldn't agree with him more, given that my own website has been redirected. They managed to find a way to redirect the WordPress site to some other location. And I've spent an hour fixing it. So, yeah. And that's with all the security things turned on. So I agree with Operator on this one.
It's a strangely fragile thing. I've never been all that keen on the way that the web has evolved. I mean, it does wonderful things compared to the early days and stuff, but just all seems to be based on a fragile structure underneath, to my mind. I don't know. Am I wrong?
I think I'm going to. I was just saying to you that while WordPress is great and all, it's just too complex for. My website is just static pages, so I'm tempted to just code it in HTML and push them up. Job done.
Yeah. Well, it's quite desirable to do something like that, but operators point about not really being able to analyze a site anymore. Just point W get at it and wait to see what you get back and examine it is nowhere. No. It's not a thing that gets you anywhere.
No.
So
no, it's you're in the middle of it, and it's going to be worse with HTML2 or this Web2 thing that they're mm-hmm. pushing. Google thing. It'll be just a data pipe, and that whole concept of view source is out the window as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the world's going to change a lot in that regard.
Whether it will or won't is a good question, because what I'm finding now is that a lot of I got contacted by Google saying that my website wasn't doing it correctly, that I'm blocking indexing in robots.txt, and I shouldn't be doing that. What I should be doing was putting in a special Google tag in every single page. And I'm going, no, you're not telling me what I'm going to do. I don't care if nobody comes to my website. I don't care if Google doesn't do my website. The only person that my website is about is me. I use it. If I want to tell somebody, here's an article that I've published for myself, and you might find it useful, here's a link. I could care less. I couldn't care less or could care less. Which is it?
Could not.
I could not care less. It was mm-hmm. never indexed by Google. Anyway, enough about that.
Yes, I know. Oh, I agree. I agree with that very much. It's just the way that the world is, but I hate it.
Yeah, but I'm tempted to go back. Deep Geek and the lads had a Gopher website at one stage. I'm thinking, yeah, actually, I'm more inclined to go Gopher. Maybe this is just where I am. It's a journey that you go through, you know. Eventually, you get sick of everything being so complex, and you go back to a Gopher website, and it's probably a deep underground network of old greybeards who are using Gopher websites.
Yeah, do you know, that is really fascinating. I can remember we ran Gopher, the university I was at, and it was doing really well. It was just the early days of people putting up stuff that you could access over the mm-hmm. internet. And then I remember being in some committee that was looking at this wonderful new HTML stuff, HTTP stuff, and you know, the conclusion was, oh yeah, we should drop Gopher and move to this. But it took a while before we did drop Gopher, but it was still around for quite some time. But I don't know that the conclusion drawn there was based on much information. It was just that it was new and shiny, I think.
New and shiny. Exactly. Yeah.
So, I was never very... I'd have been happy with Gopher. I really enjoyed playing with that.
So, for anybody who really wants to dislike a hooker, it's very hard. It really is, because the man is a nice guy, you know, no matter what you say. He gets a 3D printer, and what does he do with it? He gives it away. God!
Yes, I know. Well, good for him and all.
No, it makes you feel guilty about even wanting
it. I know. It's excellent. The thing I was going to comment on, but I thought I was to say, but Hooker, what was it? What printer was it? It would be lovely to know what it was, so I could say
the model number.
What model was it? I actually looked at the OLF 2018, I think, site. I did a search for OLF and Raffle, and it was a Lulzbot Mini. I think it was commented on in January 2018. I'm not sure when that was, when the conference was. Mm-hmm. Maybe the year previous, but that's just me being nosy. I wanted to know, you know. But yeah, the Enable people seem to be utterly delighted with this awesome. With this printer, because it was much better than what they had. So yeah, lots and lots of points there for Hooker, I would say. That's a very, very good thing to do.
They're basically build prosthetic arms and mm-hmm. prosthetic mm-hmm. bits for people. Like, what a cool idea.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Anywho, Jeroen, wanting to buy a second home in France. This is an interesting one from the point of view of, well, I don't want to buy a home in France, but there you are. If you did, it's a nice example of using the data that you have available to you nowadays to approach a problem and to filter it down. And yeah. I must admit, I've done something very similar to this. Not this, but I've been recently parsing files for to extract data in a very similar way to this.
Yes, it's fascinating. It's always good to hear people's solutions to things like this, and the fact that it is relatively easy these days to get this sort of data, and then if you've got the skills to extract what you want and do clever things with it, it's it was quite an impressive journey that he was talking about there. And if you look at the site he mentioned, the overpassturbo.eu, it's quite an interesting looking place actually. Yeah, most intriguing.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a house in France, but
thirty days a year, that's all you're going to be able to spend now, Dave.
I want to escape. I become French and get away from this stupid Brexit nonsense.
You have to learn French, you know? You have to pass a basic French, exam.
I know.
Earn people more than 300 whatever a year.
And it's not really set up for old age pensioners and stuff. But who don't speak French very well. Schoolboy French, La Plume de Matin, and all that stuff.
If you wait long enough, Scotland may devolve and come back into the EU, and then
true.
Nip over to Northern Ireland, come down to the Republic, and get your furry a whole way around the back. The next show was one from Brian in Ohio, which was,
I think you've run some... off the end of the
oh
month,
I have
you?
Yes,
you
and have, I'm gonna have to tune in next month to find out what that was all about.
It's easily done.
So where are we now? What's the next part traditionally, Dave? Missed comments from last month.
Yep. Well, that comment was your comment, and you sent it during the show.
I did.
And I think you mentioned what it was at the time.
I did.
So even though the algorithm says, we missed this, so we should talk about it now, I think we can probably skip over it.
All righty.
It's a good comment. I enjoyed it.
I myself posted three comments to Audacity stuff because I wanted to split up an album, and I went back to HPR 1771, which was John Culp's show, to say that yes, I found how to label tracks. Then I went to Audacity Chain Notches and Labels, which was Cheeto 4493, which I needed as well. Thank you very much. And that was a whole piece of the puzzle. And my own show, 2881, which was automatically split an album into tracks in Audacity, proving that I had totally lost my memory.
But it's good. It's good when you think, I don't know how to do this. Oh, I wonder if somebody's done it. It's me. I did it. That is pretty good. That is really good. It just goes to show that HBR does serve a great purpose there.
It does. So you know this. The of interest hackers can also extend to yourself. You find it interesting, and yourself in 6 months' time will find it interesting. or in that case, what was it? When did I record that show? A year previous, yeah.
I did something very similar, actually. I can't remember what it was now. I hit a problem while I was trying to fix something, and I thought, I don't know how to solve this. Or maybe I have solved this before, and I go looking on my wiki, which you can search in reasonably sophisticated ways, and found, I'd gone into enormous detail to tell myself how to solve this next time round, except that I'd forgotten that I had told myself how to solve this next time round. So it was, Yeah, it's really, really easy to do. Having somewhere where you keep that information is good.
And that is HPR. Do you want to do Andrew's on?
Yes, Andrew did a show entitled Metrics Part 2, and I wrote a comment to him just looking up a word, which he said he didn't know. And he says, Dave, thank you for looking that up. Dividing surprises me, actually. It's what it was, the word was geodesic. Surprises me, actually, as I was thinking it was more to do with movement, but lines divide a 2D space, great circles divide a sphere, so it makes sense. And he answers Sesame Mucho, who says, and says, glad it was helpful. On a tangent is a very apt choice of words. So it was all about things pertaining to tangents, of course.
Yep. And MKV, to back up your media question from Archer72, in response to Jane Duck, who thanks for the show. Unfortunately, a better local Windows partitions. I use Handbrake to compress the video files. So, sounds great idea for your show. What did you find works best for the compression settings? Did you use standard settings or find tweaks that would best suit your setup? So Archer72 donning the role there of a HPR volunteer and extracting another show out of somebody. Well done, him.
Well done, yes, indeed. So we had the show from Paul Quirk, Meet Antithesis, and there's a comment from Brian in Ohio that says, great show. Have you considered doing a series on Darktable? It would dovetail nicely with the GIMP series.
And Ahuka, who's doing the GIMP series, says, completely agree with Brian. Well, he says, I agree with Brian. I think Brian has the right idea. A show, or maybe several, on Darktable would be awesome. Again, channeling the HPR.
Yes, yes.
Send in your shows. Luke, send me your shows.
Yeah.
There what may, do you do next, well, Dave?
Be some. Right. We look at the mailing list, I think, don't we?
Let's look at the mailing list, the mailing list, the mailing list. On the mailing list was a discussion about Mike Ray and Dungeons and Dragons, an episode request. Which was the continuing of the request for blind shows. So, then we had a email from Klaatu about the HPR RPG Club November one. And they just concluded Shadowrun 5. Next, they'll be doing Dead Earth, the classic 1990s post-apocalyptic and GNU-free document license RPG, because such a big part of the game is character building. Will start out with a session dedicated to generating characters. As usual, the schedule is available in a completely difficult to read XML file or in an ICS file that doesn't load for me.
Oh, I didn't actually try it, to be honest. Ah, okay.
Open case, it's 2020-10-04. And I just want to say that that is suspended at the moment for, so the HPR club is, the D&D stuff is temporarily suspended for a while until the new year, hopefully not too long.
Okay.
Accessible iOS app for rolling D&D dice by Mike Ray. And got a mention by a player post a few days ago about playing D&D. It was in the October news. Listening to the electrical PC last night, listening to the electrical results, trying to get together for an idea for an audible poly rice roller with an ESP 8266 microcontroller, got the design together, but in the spare minutes, I checked iOS App Store and found a totally accessible app called Neutral 20 Lite. It'll roll D4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 20, 100, and etc. With VoiceOver on the iOS device, it works well. That's pretty much a tip there for blind players or visually impaired players for D&D.
Very cool. I'm intrigued that he's making a device based around an ESP8266.
Cool. Thanks. Cool. I have a show recorded on an ESP2, not on, but about an ESP2.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So, do you want to do Kevin's one?
Yes, Kevin asks apropos the discussion earlier about Nextcloud. He says that he just listened to the interview with Frank Karlicek on Linux in-laws, and he also commented on it. Got me thinking, he said the interview was mostly about the project itself, which is fine, but it left me wanting more. I suspect there are people in HBR that can satisfy my requests. One, I'd love to have maybe a short series that might look at how Nextcloud is installed and configured, and then it's some of the applications you might want to use. What are the best apps to replace things like the Google apps, for instance? Number two, if you did install these apps, would they work on mobile phones like my Android Pixel? What would have to happen for that to work? Do I need other apps on my phone? And three, where can this be hosted? I suspect my internet provider won't let me run a server at home that talks over the internet. What other options do I have? Are any of them relatively inexpensive? How technical do I need to be to set this up? So you can see there's a lot here, and I hope someone's will pick it up. Regards, Kevin O'Brien. So yeah, good. Just the sort of questions I'd like to hear answered as well, actually.
It's interesting because in the last week or three, I've heard several different people talking about requesting OwnCloud. Seems to be just right now people are interested in OwnCloud. So mm-hmm. Let's do it, folks. No. Send in OwnClouds, all level of. Don't assume that just because you've installed it once yourself that show will not be of interest to us. It will, because everyone's view on the thing is unique, as you said yourself about the printer episode. So yes, please send us in your shows.
Mm-hmm. And it's Nextcloud really that we want rather than OwnCloud.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, it's time to announce the 9th annual New Year's Eve show, where the community gets together on Mumble to welcome each and every time zone for the new year. 9 years ago, an idea was put forth to have an event where podcasters and listeners would get an opportunity to exchange greetings, regardless of the time zone, blah, blah, blah. It's the HBR New Year's show. It'll be starting on the 31st at 10 a.m. in the morning, and will continue for at least 26 hours, if not longer. So long as there's banter, we shall be recording. Oh, yes. There you go. Bring some beer, Dave, and we can have a chat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yes, it's always good to listen to it, at the very least. I usually try and pop in at some point. So hopefully that will work out again this year.
Good. And do you want to update us on the tags and summary stuff?
Yes. Scroll. Got too many tabs here. Just to tell you that there are no updates. So. No. The time ran out. I don't know what happened to this past month. I didn't manage to get the things I wanted to do done. So there we go. It happens like that sometimes.
Yep. So, Dave, next month, what disasters will have alien landings? Apparently, that's already happening with all the monoliths appearing around the place. And,
Absolutely.
We had worldwide pandemic, fire, wildfires, floods, earthquakes, disasters. Yep. Okay.
Yep.
And the Arecibo radio telescope fell apart, which is very, very sad indeed.
Yeah, very sad.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Such, and from you, the dolphin was gone. The missing, presumed dead.
Dear, oh dear. So, yeah, who knows what December will bring.
Join us now and share the software. We're supposed to do the tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker
Public Radio.
Yeah,
you'd think that I'd know how to do that by now. Anyway,
you get that.
Talk to you later, Dave.
Yes, see you soon. Cheers.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.